It's the fourth and final hour of First Up on this Thursday morning. Aaron Karolnik and Carlo Koliakovo with you. Welcome Steve Francis to the show in about 15 minutes. Steve Phillips in a half an hour. Maybe Steve Simmons. Maybe Steve Briere, the Toronto Maple Leafs former goaltending coach.
Yeah.
That's all the Steves I can come up with.
Steve Thomas?
Steve, oh, Stumpy came on. That would be awesome. I love Stumpy.
Yeah.
You play with Stumpy?
Did I play with him?
Steve Tasker, yes.
Steve Tasker.
That would be awesome.
Boy. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think I play with Steve Thomas, but I've definitely skated and played against him a bunch.
Steve Madden? Steven Spielberg. Wow. Wouldn't that be something? He's got a new movie coming
famous
out.
Famous
Steve Jobs. He is dead. So
Steve
I don't think.
Jobs.
Steve Carell? Text us 10-50-50, your favorite Steves. My favorite Steves are the ones that have come on the show, like Steve Francis and Steve Phillips. Earlier on today's program, and if you missed any of First Up, make sure to subscribe to the podcast.
Oh,
special clues.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Steve
dude.
Austin is a good.
Yes.
Steve Nash. Yeah, he's looking for new
Steve
employment.
Steve Nash.
Anyways, Texas 10-50-50. Tom Brady. There's some rumors online Steve Brady. There's some rumors online that Tom Brady has a new girlfriend. And I don't know how substantiated these rumors are. So we assigned
it's
our producer.
Moving on pretty quick, eh?
Our producer, Cheese, to do some digging, talk to some people, make some calls, and find out the legitimacy of this report. Cheese, what can you tell us?
All right. So we talked about how she was wearing the Brady jersey at the game on Monday. Apparently, it's not a regular jersey. Apparently, it's one of like the team issued ones. So people are kind of putting two and two together, saying maybe he
Brady gave it to her.
Wow.
Another development is that he does not follow her on Instagram. So read into that what you will. And she also posted a video where she appeared to be driving his Hummer. So,
excuse me. What do you mean driving his Hummer? How
like
do you know it's
car?
That part they left out, but apparently that's the case.
Wow. Well, if she's driving his car, like, you know, pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty likely.
Well, you remember when the whole Brady Giselle thing first leaked and people were like, I don't know how much to read into it. And it ended up being true that they were going through some hardships and ultimately ended up splitting. The fact that this is out there, you got to think that there's some link that maybe he's already moved on from Giselle.
Well, Giselle was pictured with her like yoga instructor or something as well. So,
apparently she is a model. Shouldn't be surprised.
I've seen the pictures.
And
confirmed.
The connection that I'm reading is that his best friend Gronk is dating a model, Camille Kostick.
I know her as well, yeah.
And these two are friends.
Are they?
So this
do
is
they
where...
follow each other on Instagram? Camille Kostick and
how
Veronica
do you even find
Rajek.
I don't know.
I don't know. This is still some work for Cheese to be doing on this story. We have a lot of questions, and we need to figure it out, because this is really important. Wow, it does look like this Hummer EV. It's an electric Hummer. And it looks like it's Brady's that she is driving, according to 20 Fingers. Wow, this would be quite the bombshell of a story.
Interesting. Good for Brady.
Good for Brady.
Yep.
Good for Brady.
There's a lot of people that are texting in saying thanks for the heads up.
Yes.
On Veronica's Instagram. But
yes. That's good stuff. So, yeah. Congrats
Stevie
to Tom.
O, Steve Martin.
Steve Martin.
Stevie
yeah.
Eiserman. How
Stevie,
do we forget
why?
That?
Why? What are we doing on this show?
Steve Urkel. Famous Steves. That should be a segment on our show. Famous. Actually, we should, you know what we should do? Prioritize each day or certain days where we have only people with the names that we come
I
up
love
with
that.
As guests on the show.
All right. Tomorrow's name, Chris Horvat.
Steven Stamkos.
Muhammad. You need to find only guests with the name
it's
Muhammad.
It's the most popular name
exactly.
in the world,
exactly.
Apparently.
I'm going to say the exact same thing.
It's easy. It's the most popular name in the world, so only guests with the name Muhammad.
You got to get, what's his name on from, what's the movie?
Superbad?
McLovin. Yeah, Superbad.
Christopher Mintz-Plasse.
Yeah, get him on.
We can get
he
him
was
on.
Muhammad in that.
I guess with his ID in Hawaii. Yeah. So, anyways, Good stuff.
What a scene that was.
Steve Borden, man. A.K.A. Sting the Wrestler. So
I mean, we almost had it today. We've got Steve Phillips and Steve Francis. All you need to do is book two other Steves.
Yeah, it's really not that challenging, Cheese. Get to work. Okay, yeah. So what was the other guest we asked Cheese to track down? Oh, yeah, Tom Brady's alleged girlfriend.
Veronica.
So we'll see if Veronica comes on before 10 a.m.
Slide into her DMs, Cheese.
Yeah, that's probably how Brady
got her to come on the show, and then we'll get the actual truth from her. Was she the one driving the Hummer?
Do you think Brady...
Old Veronica show coming up tomorrow.
Veronica show. Oh, I like nice. That.
Do you think Brady...
Veronica Vaughn, you know, from Billy Madison.
Is Brady the one doing the sliding, or do you think Veronica was doing the sliding in the DMs?
Maybe there's no sliding at all. If her and Camille, Gronk's girlfriend, mm-hmm. are friends, there's no sliding at all. It's basically an introduction.
I wish someone would slide into my DMs. Veronica,
what's your Instagram? Let's see if people can slide in your DMs.
Nah,
right now.
We don't need anyone to slide
at
in my DMs.
@akarolnik47
that is it.
On Instagram.
That is it, yeah.
Slide into your...
Don't,
if you're listening,
if you're
slide
a,
in,
if you're a dude, don't do it.
Slide into Aaron's DMs right now, and we'll read them on air.
You know what? Fine. What if we did some kind of segment where it's like, what's in the DMs or something
yes.
like that? You get 100%. A lot of DMs like, why are the Leafs aren't trading for a bottom six forward? Yeah. Cali Yarncroc's the worst. Those are the DMs you get. We'll see what DMs come in over the next 45 minutes or so here on First Stop. So, again, Steve Francis, part of a documentary that airs Saturday night. It's called The Grizzly Truth. And it talks about the Vancouver Grizzlies' departure from Vancouver. And after just six seasons in the NBA... How and why it went so incredibly wrong.
Yeah.
I can't wait for this.
Well, speaking of sliding into the DMs, mm-hmm. a good friend of mine, Reed,
okay.
just slid into my DMs.
Reed.
And he said, make sure we give it to Francis. As a Vancouver guy, he's still very upset that the Grizzlies left and that Steve Francis didn't want to go to Vancouver.
Yeah, so what happened was Steve Francis was drafted number two overall. I think Elton Brand was the first overall pick, now the GM of Philadelphia. Steve Francis, number two. And if you watch the video of draft night, Francis was disgusted.
Yeah,
disgusted.
Didn't want to go. He made it clear he didn't want to go, but they drafted him anyway.
Exactly. And ultimately, he figured out a way to be like, listen, I'm not playing for you guys. You better trade me. And there was a massive three-team trade. 11 players were part of it. And Francis... moves on, gets traded mm-hmm. to Houston, has a really good career, three-time All-Star, great player. And Vancouver, 2 years later, loses their team. And you wonder if Steve Francis had stayed in Vancouver, played up to his potential, if the team actually would have remained there and it would have been a successful venture as opposed to one that failed. Ultimately, there were other factors at play. Ownership was a big part of it as well, where there was not real commitment. The guy was just looking at cash, and I think his name was Michael mm-hmm. Heisley. So all that's part of the documentary, which airs on Saturday night, The Grizzly Truth. And I'm really looking forward to that.
And that is a movie, or is it a Netflix
doc? It's a documentary, which I believe will air on TSN early 2023
okay,
as well.
Cool.
So looking forward to catching up with Steve Francis. I mean, honestly, Steve Francis is 45 years old. He could have played for the Lakers last night. The way that their roster was decimated, no Anthony Davis, no
Unless
LeBron
his ankle
James.
Was sore. I don't know.
Yeah, Steve Francis might need some load management. Although probably at this point in time, he's healthy after. I think.
Do you think the NBA ever
10 years
presents the situation about actually docking guys' pay that don't play if they're not actually hurt?
The problem with that is how do you determine if someone's
yeah,
hurt or not?
That is the problem because the player can easily go to the trainer and say,
I'm hurt.
Look,
I have my
I'm
hamstring.
Hurt.
What are you going to do? Do an MRI every time? Like,
right. It's such a bad road that the NBA is walking down with paying these players the absurd amount of money that they're paying them. And then just when they don't feel like playing, they just don't play. I need rest. Hey, we didn't pay you $40 million to rest on a game night. You rest on days you're not playing.
And you're referring to LeBron James. Anthony Davis is more legit. He left the night
before. Well, he left the night before
with
the sickness.
He's sick. He's got the flu. He's out.
But, I mean, again, guys have played. Jordan played the flu game, had the best.
Yeah, that's what he had. He had the flu. Guy was hungover as could be. That's the real story, allegedly, anyways. But who knows what really transpired that night with Michael Jordan. What we do know is that Anthony Davis didn't play last night, nor did LeBron James. And the Lakers, as you would expect, just got crushed by the Toronto Raptors. The final score was not indicative of how one side.
Yeah, they outscored by 9 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, the Raptors crushed them, and Siakam was great once again. Fred VanVleet kind of snapped out of his shooting slump. He was 3 for 12 from three.
Probably should have. Anything other than that would have been a cause for concern.
No, you're definitely right. But that's a win.
The Lakers team that was basically a G League team.
Yeah, they had no interest in winning that game, and they had no chance without their two best players. So the Raptors move on. They play Orlando back to back this weekend. 5-20 are the Orlando Magic. So I think the Raptors are about to start a 3-game winning streak here, with some really easy games coming up on the schedule again. Mm-hmm.
Well, the Magic yesterday, didn't they beat the Clippers? Yeah.
Well, the Clippers have no players as well. I mean, it's the same situation. Was Kawhi playing last night? Probably not. You never know.
I don't know, but they scored 116 points in the win.
Of course they did.
116. It was the magic number the night before. Yeah, Kawhi Leonard played last night.
Oh, wow, he did. That's a rarity. Yeah. Congratulations to Kawhi Leonard.
Paul George played. They had their whole lineup.
Oh, wow. There you go. That's actually a surprising one. I don't know how the hell they lost that game, but we'll figure that one out at another time. So Steve Francis on the other side.
Bull.
Really.
That's why they were.
Looking forward to chatting with Stevie Franchise. He joins us next. First Up continues here on TSN 1050. Aaron Karolnik and Carlo Koliakovo with you. To say I am excited about our next guest being on the show, Coco, would be a tremendous understatement. Steve Francis was one of my favorite players growing up. A huge fan of his. But I grew up in Toronto, right? Not in Vancouver, where the love is not as universal for Steve Francis. And that's a topic that's being explored in a documentary being screened here in Toronto on Saturday night. It's called The Grizzly Truth. It tells the story behind the Grizz leaving Vancouver for Memphis. Features many interviews with players, executives, including our next guest, Steve Francis, who was drafted by Vancouver, did not play for Vancouver, and that's one of the themes that is discussed. Let's bring him in. Stevie Franchise here on First Up. Good morning.
What's up, Stevie?
How are you?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on, guys.
It's our pleasure. Do people still call you Stevie Franchise?
I don't think it'll go anywhere, but
amazing nickname. Amazing nickname. Yeah, cool. And well deserved. You're a 3-time All-Star, one of the greats of the 2000s, no doubt. So let's talk about the movie, which actually premiered in Vancouver in October. And I'm curious, Steve, because, you know, the way you left Vancouver, not a lot of love at that time. What's the reaction now after all these years have passed?
First of all, I want to say thank you to the producers. As you hear the kids in the background crying, but I want to say thank you to the producers, Kat. She did a great job doing the history, understanding, a sports franchise and also understanding players and understanding their lives. And for me, it was a good way to kind of say my part of how I felt before. Before the world, because everybody already seen what initially happened. So it was great.
So you talk about what initially happened, and just to elaborate on that, you were drafted number 2 overall by Vancouver. It was pretty obvious. You watched the film. You were not happy. How much of that had to do with the city? How much of that had to do with the unknown? You didn't know anything about Vancouver, playing in Canada, a different country. Do you kind of regret how it all played out at this point in time?
I think it could have been done better on both parts, but the unknown was the most, to a lot of players, even now watching the movie, some of the other guys, just like myself, didn't really understand the city, wasn't able to get an opportunity to really tour Vancouver and get the history or anything. So just like, hey, guys, you're going to be at this facility and we're just here to play basketball. But then again, it was a young franchise at the time. The team came in 1995. With a lot of money. So, you got to have some direction when you want to, compete in that type of league.
Steve, it's almost more than 20 years since that, the Vancouver Grizzlies entered the NBA. What made you want to decide to go back and tell this story, the Grizzly Truth, and, make people really understand what happened?
I got two younger kids, and, they didn't get a chance to witnesses. They weren't born. They hear a lot of stories about how bad of a guy I was. So I wanted, and I was blessed to be able to, to tell my point of view at my kids at the age of 15 to 18, to understand some of the things that I went through, I decided not to talk about, you know, and took that risk. And but then again, you know, it's more about what you believe in.
Our guest is Steve Francis. He will be in Toronto this weekend as part of the debut, at least here in our city, of a documentary called The Grizzly Truth. So people here in Toronto, of course, we have the Raptors, team that just won the NBA title a couple of years ago. Very successful team. Why, in your opinion, Steve, did the Vancouver Grizzlies not work?
Of course, as you'll see, you know, the unknown, kind of, you know, deeper into hockey, as, you know, Toronto's kind of closer to New York. Over there, you have Seattle, you have Los Angeles and things like that. And I don't think that it caught on to the masses. The word wasn't being spread. You know, you got to go out those communities and really have people believe in your product. And I think that's one of the things that they probably were lacking. But I think now with this right here can maybe shine another light on possibly going back over there with basketball.
Interesting. So you think it's possible, in your opinion, if Vancouver got an NBA team again, it would be something that could work out differently now than it did back in the early 2000s?
I would say just because of that, you know, to move forward, you got to make some type of mistake. I don't think it was the city's part. I know the fans are there. I know they're behind having basketball there. I was out there playing basketball outside, and there were so many kids coming up. They're just hooping, and I was surprised. But, yeah, basketball is live over there.
Our guest is Steve Francis. Again, he will be in Toronto this weekend for the Toronto debut of a film called The Grizzly Truth, one you can see on TSN in early 2023. Steve, you played a long time in the NBA. You had so much success, and I'm sure you had many visits to Toronto when you played with Houston, amongst other teams. Where did Toronto rank on your favorite cities to visit? As at least in the early part of your career, you weren't the biggest fan of Vancouver.
It was, you know, I was kind of scared because I thought it was, you know, it was a whole country against me. But I know I tend to play. I had great games when I came to Toronto to play. The fans were behind the organization, behind the team. And, of course, at that time, the superstar was Vince Carter. So it was always great to come up there to play.
Yeah, Vince Carter, a name that even for some people in Toronto, and it's funny, Steve, that there's a lot, it's a big divide here in our city with regards to the perception of Vince Carter. Some people love him, credit him for the growth of basketball. Some people even give him a little bit of credit for the Raptors NBA championship, which I find to be absurd. There is another faction, which I'm kind of a part of, not the biggest fan of Vince Carter after how things went down here in Toronto. I wanted to ask you about playing with Charles Barkley. And in your rookie year with Houston, he was on your team. I believe that was his final season in the NBA. What did a veteran Chuck Barkley, and how did he treat the rookie Steve Francis back all those years ago?
It was tough, man. You know, he came from the old school where, you know, he had to make sure the veterans had their practice gear in front of their room. I'm not sure if they still have those rules in the NBA. So it was great to see, and just the whole mystique of playing with a legend like that. So to me, I was in awe because I love sports so much, and to be on the court with him and the King was you know, was awesome to me.
Well, we are so excited to be there. At least I will be there. Carlo has other commitments. He's calling a hockey game on Saturday night, but I will be there on Saturday for the Toronto debut of The Grizzly Truth. I know you'll be there. Jimmy King from the Fab Five and the director of the film as well. Should be an awesome night. Really looking forward to seeing it and looking forward to catching up with you again down the road. Thank you for doing this, Steve.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
All right. You're the man. Steve Francis. So I was a huge basketball fan, still am, like a fantasy basketball fan back in the day. Let's say early 2000s, I'm like 12, 13 years old, and Steve Francis was a fantasy basketball legend. Points, rebounds, assists, steals, threes, he was awesome. I remember early part in the season, Steve Francis was going off for like 30 a game, and I made a bet with my buddy Ricky, would Steve Francis lead the NBA in scoring? And he said yes, and I said no, and he ultimately did not. But he was on a prodigious pace at the early part of the season. So we thank Steve Francis. I thought it was Steve Phillips. When you book back-to-back Steves, it becomes a little Stevie Franchise. one of the great nicknames in NBA history as well. Fired up for the Grizzly Truth on Saturday. What's the Grizzly Truth with the Toronto Blue Jays? Are they going to sign anybody? Is Ross Atkins even at the winter meetings? We'll ask Steve
Phillips.
Has he
been cited?
Are we sure he's there? Because they got to make some moves because a bunch of free agents are going off the board, including Aaron Judge, including Xander Bogaerts, including a lot of the guys that were rumored to be of interest to the Toronto Blue Jays. We'll head down there to chat with Steve Phillips.
We are giving away a pair of Raptors tickets. Listen to each hour of the First Up podcast for a clue to the identity of a former or current Raptors player. And once you have all the clues and you know the identity of the player, you'll have until the end of the day to enter at tsn1050.ca for your chance to win the tickets. Here is your clue.
Our third clue this morning. This Raptor player won a Most Improved Player award during his career. The fourth hour of First Up continues here on TSN 1050. Aaron Karolnik and Carlo Koliakovo with you. Coco, you see the story about Real Madrid signing this 16-year-old kid? Endrick is his name, for $75 million. 25 million euros, I should say, which is actually even more.
Incredible.
This kid will join the club in summer of 2024. And maybe the soccer world following the world of Major League Baseball, where some big tickets are being handed out. Aaron Judge gets a big one yesterday, and overnight, Xander Bogaerts, an 11-year deal with San Diego for $280 million.
Why is it pronounced Xander, but it has an X at the beginning of his name?
I mean, I didn't think we'd go there, but Steve Phillips, any answers as to the pronunciation of Xander Bogaerts?
No, you know, it's actually one of those it's one of those questions that will never be answered. It's like, right, how many licks does it take to get to the middle of a Tootsie Pop?
Oh, remember Xander from Buffy the Vampire Slayer? Remember that character?
Well, Xander. No, I don't. But yeah. Okay.
So you know what it is? It's short for Alexander. So I think that you know, typically it is, and so I think that's why they say Xander from it. So that's right. My best guess.
Yes.
Well, I guess people in New York know who Aaron is because Arson was the guy that went to San Fran. What was your reaction when you saw Aaron Judge sign his massive contract with the Yankees?
By the way, it's also, we looked this up. You know, we're in California, and the penalty for arson is 9 years. So, you know, nine years for arson. Yeah, 9 years for arson here as well in San Diego. Geez. So,
That's ironic.
So, yeah, isn't it? So, you know, the Aaron Judge, it was one of the best negotiations to ever watch from the outside. I mean, both sides, you know, Aaron Judge's agent made the Yankees squirm like you wouldn't believe. I mean, Aaron Boone looked like, I mean, he had bitter beer face the entire time he was here at the meetings because he was dying to know what was going to happen. And the agent also got the Giants to go way up. He got the Padres in the mix as sort of the mystery team to set up a meeting there, which made it even more sort of dire for the Yankees. And in the end, you know, they're both winners, Judge and the Yankees. And certainly, you know, Judge, $360 million over 9 years. It's hard to look at that as anything other than a win for him. But on the other side, for the Yankees, you know, the market said that his value, Aaron Judge's value, was 10 years, $400 million, and they got him for a year less and $40 million less. And so from their perspective, they got him below market in some way to come back to the Bronx, come back to pinstripes. Hal Steinbrenner stepped in. You know, for Hal Steinbrenner, he sort of earned his pinstripes. That's one of the things they say in New York for Yankee players, is you need to have your big moment. And you're in your pinstripe. So I think that Hal Steinbrenner did that. You know, it's a huge signing for the Yankees because as much as it did cost them a ton of money, it would have cost them more to not sign him and bring him back. And so I think it was definitely the right thing to do for them. It would have, you know, they would have to go up to three different players, probably totaling $80 million just to replace his impact on the team. Jeez. And so, you know, it was a good move for them. Not great for the AL East. And for the Blue Jays, but I think it's good for baseball that Judge plays in New York and stays with the Yankees.
We're talking to our MLB analyst, Steve Phillips, who's live from the winter meetings in San Diego. Steve, can you confirm that Ross Atkins is indeed present at these meetings and is working on trying to get free agents for the Jays? Because we're waiting. I mean, everybody's seemingly making moves on guys that have been reported, at least, to be of interest to the Toronto Blue Jays. What can you tell us about what's going on with the Jays?
Yeah, I think it was Bross Atkins who was here. You know, instead of Arson Judge, nice, and Aaron Judge. But Ross, listen, this is the way the meetings go. And when you're not after plan A, which is, you know, DeGrom, Verlander, Rodon, well, they may be in on Rodon, and Verlander obviously went somewhere else. But, you know, you're not in Aaron Judge. You're going to wait for the dominoes to fall, and that's really what we've seen happen. The Judge signing loosened everything up. And, you know, after Judge, plan B for the Giants is Correa. We saw that, you know, for the Padres, you know, they were in on Judge. They were in on Turner. And when they didn't get either of them, they pivoted to Xander Bogaerts. And so it's just, you know, it's the next guy in line. Brandon Nimmo will be the next outfielder that gets traded or signed, as, you know, so many teams are coveting him right now. So we're just going down the list. You know, Scott Mitchell and I put together the list of the top 50 free agents, and we're just going to whittle our way down now, you know, working in from the top down just, you know, to handle signings. So once one guy signs, they'll all focus on the next guy in line, and they'll focus on the next guy in line. And it's just the process. And so they're doing their due diligence. I mean, like, they're hardworking guys. I mean, they're doing it. It's just, you know, it takes two to tango, and some of the players aren't in a position yet to say yes.
So we've been talking about the couple Japanese players that are of interest to many major league teams, including reportedly the Toronto Blue Jays. Masataka Yoshida signed a big deal with the Boston Red Sox, but the pitcher, Senga, is still out there. Steve, how much interest do you think the Jays would have in him?
I think they definitely have interest in him. Now the thing is that I heard was that the agent Joel Wolf, who's part of the Wasserman Group, said that, you know, he visited, you know, five or six different cities, but only one country. And so now whether they did the meeting on Zoom, you know, because of, you know, immigration reasons and such, I don't know for sure. I did hear that the Blue Jays were interested in him. He's got, you know, 5 and 6 year offers on the table already. You know, he's 29 years old. There's no compensation pick, attached to him. You're not losing draft picks. There's no posting fee with him. And so what's interesting is but there are a lot of teams in on him. And so he's probably right there with Carlos Rodon as the next pitchers in line. Then Chris Bassett after that. And I like Bassett a lot. I think he'd be great for Toronto. I do. He pitched in Oakland, pitched for the Mets. You know, Senga's a guy that could throw 95 to 99. And then he's got a split. He's got an arsenal a lot like Kevin Gausman. You know, the fastball split. He does have a curveball and changeup. And it's a real split. Now, he walks more guys than I really like. I mean, what I've seen with pitchers that do come over from Japan is their walk numbers do go up a little bit, whether they're trying to nibble or work the corners or the strike zone difference is there. You know, and Daisuke Matsuzaka is the one guy that is, in some ways, you know, he was a guy who was supposed to throw 100. He did have like 7 or 8 pitches, but he was a fastball split guy, and he ended up walking a lot more guys here than he did in Japan. And so it is something that is at least constructive to consider. Instructive to consider. You know, we'll see whether it's a factor or not, but a lot of teams in on Senga.
Steve, we saw the St. Louis Cardinals sign Wilson Contreras, catcher, to a 5-year deal worth almost $90 million, which is of intrigue to the Toronto Blue Jays and their fans, because the Jays are, it's pretty well known that they're looking to move a catcher, one of the three guys they have, whether it's Moreno or Kirk or Jansen. What is the market like right now for catchers around Major League Baseball?
Well, you know, what we found is you've got Sean Murphy from Oakland, who's a trade candidate as well. And then, obviously, you've got the, you know, Danny Jansen, most likely the guy the Jays would consider moving. But, you know, the asking prices from the teams that have the catchers have been very high. And so, you know, there were reports when we first showed up here that the Cardinals were going to be in on Murphy, but it just died down. And next thing you know, they pivoted to the free agents. They didn't have to give up any player capital in the deal. And I think that that's where you're running into. Now, the Cleveland Guardians still are looking for a catcher. Certainly the Minnesota Twins are, Chicago Cubs are, since they lost Wilson Contreras. So there are multiple teams out there looking for catchers, but you've got to find the right fit. You've got to find the right matchup with the right need and where they have a surplus. And so, and look, there's no rush. I mean, they can keep all three catchers. They've got options on players. They can keep three in DH. You know, alternating DHs or the catchers on the Major League club. So, you know, I think Ross Atkins, I heard him talk about it yesterday, they don't have to trade a catcher. It's just, you know, it's nice that they have the depth, but if that deal's not there now, there will be a need somewhere during the course of the season, too, where they can end up making a deal.
You think it's more likely, Steve, that the Blue Jays sign an outfielder or trade for one?
I think sign one. I do. I think Nimmo and Benintendi are certainly out there. Conforto is certainly a guy that I think teams are interested in. And so, I do think that they're out there. You know, Yoshida was a guy I know the Jays were interested in what was interesting was, you know, he was posted, and he had a 45-day window to negotiate and sign with somebody and make an agreement. I think he thought he had 45 minutes. I mean, it was amazing. Like, he got posted, and then later that day, he's signing with the Red Sox. I'm like, why don't you play this out and squeeze people a little bit? But, you know, the Red Sox jumped in with a 5-year deal, $90 million. They ended up having to play like a $15 million posting fee beyond that. But they wanted him. They aggressively went after him and were able to close that one up quickly.
So, Steve, you're obviously tight with a bunch of GMs, executives around Major League Baseball. Everyone's in the same zip code down there in San Diego. What have your nights been like? Are you dining with your MLB Network colleagues, with the TSN people? Is it with your former
Bobby Bonilla,
your former colleagues as far in Major League Baseball? What is Steve Phillips' time like, you know, day to day, night to night?
How about the Bobby Bonilla drop in the background?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Listen, I don't even know this guy, okay. Steve.
He should be honestly buying you dinner, Steve.
I agree.
Breakfast, okay, lunch, so and dinner there.
I'm at our setup here to do our radio show, and on Sunday, some guy walks over and says, hey, Steve, how you doing? He said, you may not remember me. I was a former agent. He said, but you might recognize my voice. I did the Bobby Bonilla, Dennis Gilbert NFT. And I'm like, the first person I'm meeting when I'm here has to give me the Bobby Bonilla reference.
So you beat him up. And then, you beat him up? Is that what happened?
I did. I called security over. They tackled him. and so, yeah, it certainly was a little crazy. But, you know, they've got nice, really nice restaurants here. I mean, it's terrific. And so, you know, the Gas Lamp Quarter, all kinds of restaurants there. Did get out a little bit. Got some really nice seafood over the week. And heading back later today to New York and then Connecticut.
San Diego's on my bucket list. Never been to San Diego. You ever been there,
goodness.
Coco?
No, never.
Here, I don't know if you are aware of this, but money grows on trees here.
I bet it does.
I mean, they have been throwing money around here. Like, it's unbelievable.
Oh, Xander Bogaerts. He's getting $25 million till the next 11 years. He's going to be 41 years old and being paid $25 million. I don't get it. Wasn't baseball just going through a labor agreement a year ago? Like, where is this money coming from?
I think there's some stability now and some recognition as to where we're going. And there's some real star players this year. I mean, they offered $342 million to Trey Turner before he took $300 million from the Philadelphia Phillies because he wanted to be on the East Coast. And I'm like, wait, I thought people wanted to come to San Diego.
No kidding.
And then they, you know, they get an Aaron Judge and supposedly offer 10 years, $400 million. and then they get the Bogaerts deal done yesterday, too. So money is growing on trees here in San Diego.
If only sports radio had a similar salary structure to Major League
Baseball. Can we plant one of those trees in this studio?
Where is, there's a money bush outside the TSN headquarters. That's my understanding. We'll have to take a look and see if we could track it down. Steve, enjoy the time down there in San Diego. We'll chat with you next week.
Okay, guys. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Steve Phillips, our MLB analyst. Legendary patients deserve a legendary hospital. Help us build the new SickKids by becoming a monthly donor today. Your donations will help build an expanded neonatal intensive care unit, new state-of-the-art operating suites, and deliver more care to more children in need. Go to tsn1050.ca to become a monthly donor now, and your donation will be triple-matched every month for an entire year. And tune into News Talk 1010's Gift of Giving for SickKids, 15th of December from 5 a.m. to 6 p.m. to hear how your donation will help save the lives of our most vulnerable children. My FanDuel Best Bets coming up next. Okay, time now for today's Best Bets brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Let's start with Austin Matthews tonight. I know he's not the man of the hour. I know he doesn't have a 20-game point streak, but he has been getting real hot of late. Scored against Dallas. Think he scores again tonight. +104 anytime goal for Matthews as the Maple Leafs host the LA Kings here on TSN 1050. It's also the 33rd birthday for Drew Doughty, and I'm a fan of narratives.
Money on the board.
On my FanDuel Best Bets. Doughty's got 17 points in 24 games this year. I believe he gets a point tonight, -112. And finally, I'm on the Raiders tonight against the Rams. And I saw a report from Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network that Baker Mayfield could see the field tonight. The dude joined the team like 28 hours ago, and he's going to play for the Rams? Already knows the playbook. He doesn't know anything. It's Baker Mayfield.
He knows the playbook in Carolina.
Exactly.
He's been there all year.
The only thing he knows how to is how to throw interceptions. And I guarantee if he does see the field tonight, he'll be throwing at least one. Look for that prop later on FanDuel. Today's best bets have been brought to you by FanDuel. Make every moment more and get your winnings fast when you download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today. Yesterday, following the conclusion of First Up, Coco, you and I and the veterinarian Frankie Corrado went over the TSN cafeteria, and they were serving some of the most unbelievable soup either of us have ever consumed. It's like
hearty,
Nona used to make.
Very hearty version of a beef barley.
And there were some juicy pieces of I don't know, steak, beef in there.
Yep.
I am very hopeful that they make the exact same soup today because, yes, it's 9:53 in the morning, but I'm always ready for some soup, buddy.
There's never appropriate time for us to eat a certain meal.
It's true.
We work, you know,
I was up at 4:30 today.
Yeah, like, I'm ready for lunch, maybe even a dinner.
I could mix in a brunch slash lunch slash dinner.
Oh, yeah.
I'm good for anything.
Let's go do it.
We'll be ready to rock tomorrow morning. We've got World Cup action back here on TSN 1050 as well. Looking forward to that.
Short show.
We'll recap the Leafs and the Kings and the Toronto Raptors. I believe they play Orlando tomorrow as well. So a very busy show to look forward to. Thank you to Cheese. Thank you to Chrissy. Excellent work as always, fellas. That's Carlo Koliakovo. I am Aaron Karolnik. We will be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m.
Ciao.
Flight home?
Oh, guys,